Welcome to the Birth Warrior Podcast. In each episode, we feature the stories of birth warriors, women who have persevered to find their own truth in pregnancy and birth. As you hear these women share their stories of love, autonomy, connection, and power, it is our deepest wish that you will be inspired, empowered, and supported to find your own truth. We are honored these women have stepped forward to share their personal stories and to help us remember that we all have the power to choose what is right for us. The Birth Warrior Podcast is a presentation of the Indie Birth Association and is not intended to be medical advice.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Birth Warrior Podcast. I'm your host, Jaden Graham. Today we have Annie. Annie is a military wife and mother of five babies, four living, who in 2018 chose to have an unassisted miscarriage, knowing God would guide her. Trusting her body to do this magnificent and fierce metamorphosis of home miscarriage led Annie to the free pregnancy and birth of her daughter Liv, born surrounded a year later in love by Annie's older children and dogs. Annie believes in the truth that all women can listen to their own bodies and know what is best for their baby, no matter if that baby is born alive or still, and that there is no other time in a woman's life where she can truly sit in her power like birth. Welcome to the podcast, Annie. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. Now, Annie, in our correspondence, you had mentioned that the beginning of your daughter Liv's story really starts with the miscarriage of your fourth baby. And I was hoping you would do myself and our listeners the honor of starting at this place on our podcast, as well as also how this tragedy was deeply transformative in how you navigated your subsequent pregnancy and birth with Liv.
I would love to start there. Thank you so much for talking about that. Mm-hmm. I think that in my soul, I always knew I wanted to be a mother. Mm-hmm. And from the time that we started having children, my husband and I agreed that two would be the perfect number. But as things moved along, we had more, and it went in sort of this kind of like slide at the playground where you're at the top and you think, I'm going to have this birth. We had a birth at the hospital with midwives, and midwives are amazing. But then the next birth was also at the hospital, and we moved from this epidural with midwives to a natural birth. And so then I thought, okay, well, now I'm like coming down this slide. I feel like I'm going to be free soon. I get to the end. Like, I'm a mom. I know a little bit more. Didn't really know a lot about breastfeeding. So then the next birth, our third birth, was a home birth with midwives. And I thought, okay, I'm really getting this like handle on my life now. And I feel like I know a little bit more about all of the things about baby wearing or co-sleeping. And so I think in my mind, I've always done things my own way. I've always been pretty independent. I've always kind of gone through the bush and the brush instead of like following that beaten path. Mm-hmm. So when people started talking about this idea that you could free birth, I didn't really know what that meant. And so I started discovering, I started talking to other moms online. I started talking to my friends. And when we talk about having a home birth, it might seem kind of scary, but for me, I just felt like it was a relief. It was just like this very peaceful thing to do. Mm-hmm. So we became pregnant and I was really excited. I told my husband, I actually gave him a little note that said, we're going to have to buy a bigger vehicle. He looked at it and I smiled and we were really excited. And so that was a wonderful beginning. And it was about like December, January. So there were a couple of things that we did. We went to a military ball. I got to see some of my friends. And then I flew out to go to a holistic midwifery doula training. And that's where it all started. I've never had a miscarriage before. I actually only have one ovary. So that's kind of interesting story for me. I had my one ovary removed in a surgery. And that was right before we got married. So all of my babies have come from one ovary.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing. The human body is pretty fantastic, that's for sure. Wow. So every single child, what were the age differences, I guess the timeline is kind of what I'm looking, or what I'm thinking about right now. Like, so you had your first pregnancy, the first two were at the hospital, and did both of them have an epidural?
Just the first one.
Just the first one. Okay. And then how long was it from that time until you had the miscarriage, until you had the miscarriage, the whole miscarriage?
So we have a 9, an 8, and a 5-year-old, and then mm-hmm. have a miscarriage that was in 2018.
Okay.
And then we just had our baby born in 2019.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, so you went to the military ball, and then how long was it until in between then that you, what did you just have this inner knowing and this inner feeling about, you know, this is what's happening with my body, or was it kind of a surprise?
I think it really was a surprise. I never had any pain, mm-hmm. and I was quite shocked actually. So like the ins and outs of actually finding out when you have a miscarriage are different for women. Some of them have a lot of pain. Some of them don't, you know, mm-hmm. some of them like wipe when they're going to the bathroom. Some of them kind of just, it like happens mm-hmm. and they don't even know what's happening. I was able to be with a girlfriend of mine. I was pregnant with our third baby and she had a miscarriage at home. She just had her baby at 15 weeks. So she didn't even realize what was happening. So mm-hmm. I was able to be there for her. And I knew what that was like, having a 15-week-old baby and being with her for that. But for me, it was much earlier. It was right at the end of our first trimester. So when I started bleeding, but it didn't hurt and it wasn't red blood. And so I guess I wasn't really concerned. We were actually on our honeymoon and we had gotten married and then took our honeymoon later. And so I was already pregnant on our honeymoon and was bleeding a lot with our first child, like so much red blood. I thought for sure that was a miscarriage, but the idea that this miscarriage was like a word, I didn't know what it meant. Mm-hmm. I had heard about it. I never thought it would touch my life or be a part of me.
Right.
And here we moved to like almost 8 years later or mm-hmm. whatever the math is, that I'm actually experiencing a miscarriage when I've been to doula trainings and we talk about them. And I used to work in the emergency room when I was a very young little girl, like 22 years old. And I had been with women as an interpreter, telling them things about being postpartum of this miscarriage in the hospital and explaining things to these sobbing women with their husbands. So I've been in this other side, but I've never felt it in my bones, in my heart. And I know that I was able to process it and do it, but I had no idea what was happening. And I actually didn't even start the like full red blood bleeding until I got home from this doula training, which to me is an act of God and a miracle, because I could have had this baby on the airplane and that didn't happen, or at this doula training and that didn't happen. So I just think that my mind was really powerful in keeping that connection with our baby. Mm-hmm. And it took about 2 weeks from the time I started bleeding the red blood, we went to the emergency room. I decided I need to know, I have to know if there's a heartbeat. So my mind kept flying back and forth between our first baby, who I would bleed red blood all the time, go to the emergency room all the time. They would say, your baby's fine. Your baby's very active. They took a video. You know, we were in Hawaii on our honeymoon. And so I had this video of the emergency room and I thought I was losing our first baby. And then now here we are. And we did lose our fourth baby.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I think that stood out to me mostly was there's a woman, and when we were in our little room with the sheet pulled across, we had to wait a long time for the ultrasound tech to come in. And so I really want to remind other women out there, when you're listening to this, I want you to know that you can ask for this. The ultrasound tech, she said to me, would you like to take the ultrasound wand and would you like to put it in your body yourself and guide it in? And I didn't know that I could ask for that or have that.
I honestly didn't either until you just said that. Wow. Yeah. That's pretty great that, yeah. I mean, I hate to use the word let because, you know, they should just let, let us do what we want to do with our bodies. But it is such like a, such a system of like, you know, like letting and not letting. And just that's, you know, the technocratic model in and of itself of just, yeah, give and pull. But anyways, yeah, that's great. That's, I'm glad that you, I'm glad for you for that. For sure. Was it when you found out, was it just kind of within you that you decided to have, you know, to just be in the sanctuary of your home? Was that just kind of, you know, just the initial like, yes, this is what I'm doing? Or did you kind of have to come, you know, was it a conversation before, like, you know, oh, maybe this is gonna happen at the hospital, I guess? How did you move into the place of being like, I'm going to, you know, have this, I'm going to birth this child, because miscarriage is still a birth, and, you know, in the sanctuary and the safety of my home? How did you come to that place?
I think having our third birth as a home birth, mm-hmm. then had already placed in my mind this template mm-hmm. that I can have a baby in a car or in an elevator or in my home and it's okay.
Yeah.
And so with that, the third birth being the home birth, that was already in my mind that I would just home birth every baby from now on. It mm-hmm. was a little tricky. I want to say it was like a spider's web, kind of this like, you had to really untangle yourself. People, once there was no like fetal heart tones is the technical terminology. You know, I want to listen to the baby's heartbeat. I asked specifically to have a DVD. I wanted a recording of all the ultrasound, everything. I wanted the blood. I wanted the picture. They check your uterine blood flow. I wanted the noise. I wanted that. That was my proof of my baby. Mm-hmm. So then they kind of turned a corner. The woman doctor who came in, she was very nice, but they were a little pushy about, we really want to take your, can we take your blood? We're going to take your blood. We need to check. We need a baseline. And knowing a little bit about the hospital system, just because I was an interpreter before, like, you know, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. I think now being a mom, I know that I can say no to anything. I can be a 2-year-old. I can say, no, I'm not hungry. No, mm-hmm. I don't want that. No, thank you. I don't want that. Well, but we really need, no, thank you. And in that moment, I just really wanted someone to say, okay, I hear you. I hear that you don't want a blood test. What can we do for you next? Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like a mangled sort of, why do I have to keep saying no to you? I'm now trying to process that I'm no longer pregnant with this baby that I just was being like cooed over at the military ball. And everyone was so excited for me. And now here we are. I literally got off of an airplane. Mm-hmm. And now I just got done with this holistic doula, free birthy, you know, like mm-hmm. I was surrounded by women in space, in the like womb space of our minds when we get together. You know how women are. We're like mm-hmm. chickens just clucking about all of these beautiful things about babies and breastfeeding and our blood flow and being in tune. And now here I am in this moment. I'm in tune with my body at this hospital and people are still asking me, can we take your blood? Can we take your blood? And I wanted to scream, but I didn't. I think I looked at my husband and kind of stared into his eyes, like begging him to just use his body and his manness to somehow like protect me. Mm-hmm. And then we went home.
Yeah.
I did not give them my blood, by the way. You can say no.
Good. And then if you don't mind me asking too, how long was the full process at home?
So from the time we got home from the hospital, that's really when the red blood began. And that was 2 weeks. My daughter had a birthday party planned. I told everyone, please come. I told everyone I'm upstairs miscarrying our baby. And my very best good friend, she came upstairs. I wanted her to be in the room with me. She was downstairs with like the party and everyone, but later she came up and just sat at my feet and laid in my bed with me. And I love her dearly forever. And the interesting thing was my good friend, Jonah, he has a drumming business that he does with children. And I had asked him and hired him to come. So I'm laying in my bed. All of these children and family and friends are downstairs. And he does this thing with these drums and shakers and he passes them out and he does all of these things. But he gets this one part where he does a primal scream. And so my body was like aching. It was aching to scream. And so I crawled out onto the floor on the upper landing. No one knew that I was there. They knew I was in my bedroom, but I crawled out. So he tells the children, I want you, I'm going to start. He does a drum beat and he goes slow, slow. And then he gets faster and faster. And then he says at the end, we're going to do primal scream. And everybody, I want you to just pound your drums as hard as you can. And we're going to just scream our primal scream. And he did that. And when all of the children did that, I just like moaned because I wanted to do that for my baby and my heart. And I thought, everyone needs a Jonah.
Oh, that's wow. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's beautiful. That's very, very beautiful. Wow. Sorry, I'm just sitting with that visual in my head right now. That's very powerful. Wow. And then let's see. So you had your miscarriage. Now with Liv, your fifth child, did you, cause I missed the part in the story where you said that, did you have a midwife with your third child?
I did.
You did.
Hospital midwives, epidural.
Right.
Hospital midwives, natural. And then I shifted and did home birth with a totally different midwife.
Okay.
And that was the third baby.
Okay. Now was there, again, just kind of how you just, you know, you knew you were going to go home for this fourth baby. Did you consider a midwife for Liv, or did you just again have this innate inner knowing like I'm doing this on my own? This is what's happening.
Everything that happened with the miscarriage, first of all, it bonded my husband and I like nothing. I cannot even explain how much more in tune with him I am. I think other moms who like are doctors' wives or pilots' wives or firemen wives or these women who stand by these men who are gone a lot, who are like in danger's way a lot, who are constantly super stressed and under these extreme circumstances that you might not be able to bond with your husband because they're physically not there, they're mentally not there, they're emotionally not available because of their job. And it can be any job.
Right.
They could be anything, right? A garbage truck driver. It doesn't matter. But when my husband and I went through this, he would stand in the shower with me while I'm like bleeding lots and pieces and things. And now, note to self or any woman, I don't know how you could have this happen, but we have this water heater that gives you hot water all the time. And I was in the shower 4 hours straight with hot water. So I'm not saying that everyone should go buy a hot water heater in case you have a miscarriage. The benefits are really amazing for all sorts of reasons. But I have this picture in my mind where I'm in the shower on my hands and knees holding onto his ankles. And he's like these tree trunks. He's so grounding. And this hot water is just on my back and it's just coming and coming. And then I just have that memory burned into my brain. as he's so strong. He isn't sitting on the toilet outside of the shower. He's in the shower with me. Mm-hmm. And this blood is just coming. And it was like beautiful and scary and exciting. And I was nervous. And I prayed to God because that's how I get through my life and mm-hmm. live. And my relationship with God is very important. And I remember saying to him, I'm not going to die. I'm going to have my baby at home. I know my baby has passed. And God, you want me to be here for a reason. I have all these other beautiful children to take care of. This has happened for thousands of years. And I thank you that I get to experience it because now something is going to change in my life. These were all the things swirling through my head. I mean, it was very deep into my ancestral lineage as well as, wow, that's really red blood. Wow. Oh, making a nice pattern in the water.
Yeah. And that, yeah, I completely resonate with that a lot. Yeah, my husband was a very grounding force, for my birth as well. So definitely I feel that. And then were you planning on having Liv, or was she a surprise?
So we just decided that we would have as many babies as God gives us. Mm-hmm. And we just constantly breastfeed our babies for about at least like maybe sort of a year. Now, that didn't really happen with our first because I didn't know anything about breastfeeding. And I thought you couldn't get pregnant while you're breastfeeding.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. So those babies are very close. They're less than 2 years apart. They're like about almost 18 months apart, which is wonderful, shocking. And again, I only have one ovary, so I'm thinking I'll only ovulate every other month, or we don't really know. No one really knows. I could check it, but I'm more in asking my body to just let me know what's happening. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we love the idea of having lots of babies, and it was very a pleasant surprise and shocking and like alarming to me that 5 months later we got pregnant. I was actually not even with my husband at the time. So I text messaged him that we were having a baby.
Nice. Very cool. And then with your pregnancy with Liv, that was free as well. No medical management whatsoever. Awesome. Cool. Was that what was that experience for you? You know, was there anything that you felt like you needed to focus on specifically, or was it just, you know, I'm gonna just really listen to my body and then go from there?
I think I just really was in tune with my body. I felt like throwing out the prenatal vitamins and all these regimens and protocols, and what would it look like if I ate carrots because I wanted carrots? What would it look like if I ate a bag of Fritos because I want to eat a bag of Fritos?
Amen to that. Yeah, that's awesome. Describe the, I guess, leading up, you know, or the birth itself. Yeah, let's hear about that.
Say that part again.
Oh, I said, let's hear about the birth itself.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
I really wanted to make this the most amazing birth ever because I felt like if I'm going to put all of my heart and soul and I'm just going to pray to God and say, all right, this baby's going to live. She's going to come. She's going to be alive. She's going to be healthy. I'm going to do it all. So I got henna, and I had henna all over my belly. I had it all over my arms. I wanted to max out my intuition, my like mama connection. And I think that was just, it was amazing. That was like a really special ceremony for me. Mm-hmm. Now, other children that I have, I do this mathematical thing about when they are going to be born. So I had in my mind this very specific day because of the way the numbers would work out. Mm-hmm. And that day came. And then my best friend had her baby on that day.
Well, you predicted it for someone. So that's, that's good.
Cool. So I remember the last week, I was so frustrated. First of all, my best friend, I was really happy for her, but she stole my mathematical magical day. So then I thought, okay, yeah. I'm just going to play cards. So I taught our older son to play different kinds of card games. And I remember playing so many card games with him. And we just played cards. And every night, I stood in front of the mirror completely naked. And I stood on this green rug and would take a picture of my naked body. And like in every angle, I turned the lights on and off. And I just thought, okay, because what if tomorrow's the day and I'm not pregnant? I want to have this be my last pregnant picture. So I did that for like a day, 2 days. And then it was like a week. I thought, all right, should I just stop taking pictures? Now my husband, he flies. And so it's really important that he gets a lot of sleep. And I remember telling him like, oh, something's happening. So he took the day off and then nothing happened. And then that happened again. So one morning I said, oh, like some things are moving. And he said, should I stay home or should I just go to work? And I said, I think you should just go to work. I think it's fine. I'll just call you and, you know, let you know. So he was already dressed and ready to go to work. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, you are sounding like I'm not going to go to work today. So he decided not to go to work on the one day he was going to. We hired a birth photographer. And I remember sitting in the parking lot when I was hiring her. I was alone. I was at the grocery store alone for like the one time. And I said, hi, I really like to hire you to be my birth photographer, but I want to have a free birth. Do you know what that is? And she said, well, tell me what you think and then I'll let you know. So I said, I want you to be a fly on the wall. I don't want you to say anything to me. I don't want you to offer me a honey stick, a banana. I don't want you to talk to me. I want you to just take pictures of everything. And if my baby's born still, I want you to take pictures of everything. Because in my mind, I was having a baby and I already had a baby who was still. So now I'm going to have a baby who I want to be alive. But for my soul, I needed that closure. And I remember her saying, I can do that for you. And so we were talking about the births that she's attended. And she said, I've never attended a free birth before. And so we started talking a little more. And she said, well, when I was little, I lived in Africa. And I would hold a lantern while my mom would help all these women having babies. And I said, what? You've attended thousands of free births. So I hired her, of course.
Yes, of course. Of course.
And my husband called her. And I ended up going into that room in the bathroom on that green rug that I would stand on and take all these pictures. It was about 4 hours total. And I was really happy. I just remember like being there in the moment. At one point, the dog, we have two dogs. So there's a dog that I got. It's kind of like I lost a baby. Let's go to the pound and play with puppies today. And then I came home with a puppy. So there's that dog. He went behind me and like squirreled himself in. I don't even know how he was there, probably touching my like butt cheeks. I was like cat cow, and he was bit like just between the wall and my body in this tiny little cubby area while I was on this green rug having a baby, and he just wanted to be there with me, and I was okay with that. I remember grabbing onto my husband's shorts. He had a pair of cargo shorts on. They had a tiny little rip. And as I grabbed onto the edge of his shorts, he was like kneeling in front of me. With every wave, I would like squeeze and I would like pull as hard as I could. And I remember ripping and ripping. And then eventually I like ripped his shorts. I just ripped them. The rip went all the way up. So it's kind of like a measurement of how far in I was into this labor. Mm-hmm. And then I remember feeling this peace. Like I would have these waves and then boom, I would just come out and be smiling and happy and talking to my husband. And slowly that would change. Slowly I would get more focused. I would get more like in tune. I would just be concentrating on what was happening. I was totally naked. I was really in this tight space between our shower and a door in the wall. I remember my husband saying, do you want to go to the bed? Do you want to go to the bed? Do you want to move? And I just kept saying, Like I wanted to be in this very like comforting corner. Mm-hmm. And it was that green rug. So I just remember really like being with my body. And I didn't really have any pain the way that people think about it. For my births, I really enjoyed them, starting with the birth where we had our first natural baby. I love birthing. I like love the bliss and the high. I just started getting in tune with my body and it feels really good. So that might sound kind of crazy, but I like birthing.
That doesn't sound crazy at all.
Like I would be pregnant forever. I would be birthing a baby every day forever. I love that. I love all of the parts of it. I love everything that happens in every different trimester. I remember me hearing my husband say, the baby's head's coming. I can see the shoulders. And I'd sort of like positioned myself where I'm like using the wall to brace myself. And I looked down and she was coming out in her mermaid's purse. We didn't know it was the girl at the time.
Now, I actually wanted to stop you right there because when I actually read that part in your story, I had never heard of I know what it is. I know what a mermaid, I had to Google it. I know it's and call, but can you actually explain what a mermaid's purse is? Because I, just for our listeners.
So the mermaid's purse, mm-hmm. from my understanding, there are different egg sacs. They're like sharks lay their eggs. Some of them sharks birth live babies, and some of them they have like these pockets and they have tendrils that wrap around seaweed. And so it looks like a mermaid's purse. Mm-hmm. And then there's an old like sailor's old wives tale that if your baby is born in this mermaid's purse, in this amniotic sac, your baby comes out of you. That it's a good omen or it's like a good sign, like you have a water baby and that your baby is still encased in this beautiful, like pillowy pocket of, you know, of your waters, your ocean. And so I had only ever heard that this happens like one in a zillion, trillion, billion, gazillion. It doesn't happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it certainly would never happen to me. And then here my baby is coming out of me where I'm like pushing and screaming and moaning and like wildly like letting myself loose, which I have to say also was very different from my other births. Mm-hmm. That was also really freeing. It literally is the word free. Mm-hmm. I felt free that I knew my birth photographer wasn't going to give me a glass of water or say, are you okay? Do you need a honey stick? Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to just literally let loose and I did. And it was incredible. Mm-hmm. And so for all that force, here she comes out gently, coming out in this beautiful mermaid's purse, the in call or in the amniotic sac. And I could see her hair and I could see her face and I could see like her breathing the amniotic fluid in and out of her mouth. I mean, it was like looking underwater. It was incredible.
And mermaid's purse just sounds so much dreamier than in call. Now did you, she was born, did you then just kind of instinctually after, just rip the bag yourself with your finger then?
So when she finally came all the way out, like mm-hmm. right by her feet, that tore. And so mm-hmm. okay. I didn't have to rip the bag myself. Mm-hmm. I think that just her coming out, her whole body, it broke when it came out. And then I lifted it over her face. And as soon as I lifted over her face, the waters just went away and she immediately started crying. Mm-hmm.
Saying, hey, mom, I'm here. Oh, that's so beautiful. Mm. And were your other kids were there, were they sleeping or did they come in pretty soon after she was born?
So they were in and out for a lot of the labor. It was like mm-hmm. about 4 hours or so. And they went to go downstairs and watch cartoons. And then they came back. Mm-hmm. When I was actually birthing her, I think my husband yelled and said, oh, you know, like run upstairs, the baby's coming. So they were there when she was born. And the two olders were there when the third one was born. They were little, but they were there the whole time. They've mm-hmm. seen this is now like their second sibling be born.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. That's really, it's really amazing when the siblings can share in that just such special and sacred moment. That's so amazing. And I was hoping now you could talk about the placenta. Because I thought that was a pretty interesting part of your story too when I read it.
Yeah. So I wanted to have a lotus birth. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know what that meant, but people were talking about it like, oh, it's so connecting. A lotus birth is when you don't cut the cord and you leave the placenta in a bowl and cover it with special herbs. So this whole pregnancy, I'm saying, I'm going to have a lotus birth. I'm mentally preparing myself. And then I was exhausted after squatting and getting this beautiful baby out. And my husband came in, he laid down on the floor, and I put her on his skin and he held her. And then I'm trying to get my placenta out into the bowl, just like gently push it out. Mm-hmm. And my legs were just so tired. I said, I'm changing my mind. Just like in that moment, I'm not going to do a lotus birth. And I felt really okay with my decision. So we had waited already for her cord to turn white. And so then I cut the cord. And then we moved to the bed, and then he was on the bed with the baby, and I was like squatting over the bowl and nothing was happening. I was having these really like level 150 out of 1 to 5 super intense contractions. Mm-hmm. And it was not progressive. It didn't feel good. It didn't feel like a birthing baby. Like, I love those waves of oxytocin. I love pushing my baby. I love that feeling. This was not that. This was awful. I asked my husband to sit at my feet so I could push against him and push against the wall behind me in my bed. And I just remember, like, it just came over and over and over again. It was so fast. It was like every 2 minutes, 5 minutes, and nothing was happening. So she was born right about noon, and this went on for like almost a day. Sometimes they would space out about 15 minutes. And he said, do you want to go in? Do you want to go to the hospital? I was like asking other doula friends, am I like, what do you think? Well, you know, what should we do? So I tried all of the things, like nipple stimulation, go into the dark, try to make out, try to get in the shower, try like gentle, like with your body, my own body, like feeling inside, you know, like holding my own cord and like using my own knowledge to gently pull on my own cord and see if it was just kind of sitting behind my bladder, try and pee, try and move it. And all this time I'm having these excruciating, painful contractions. I'm thinking, did I mentally connect myself so much with the idea that I was having a lotus birth that now my body just says like, oh, attached. It has the word attached in it. Mm-hmm. And so in the end I decided, okay, I'd been breastfeeding perfectly fine. Everything was wonderful. I was just in excruciating contractions like every couple minutes. And I was exhausted. I couldn't sleep. I thought, I'll sleep. I'll wake up in the morning and it'll just kind of plop out. But I couldn't sleep. So we ended up going to the hospital and my husband held our baby the entire time. And I had them take my placenta out, which was bonkers to me. and then we went home. They thought I was going to die, or they couldn't believe I wasn't dead. And it ended up being like 22 and a half.
They didn't, I'm sorry to interrupt. They didn't say those words to you though. Either way, it's just a horrible insinuation, whatever way that you put it. But did they say the words, we're surprised you're not dead, or you're going, like, just anything to that degree, like just outright. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not quoting the words, but like, this is very dangerous. We're surprised you're alive. Sort of. Not the dead word, but the alive.
Yeah,
word.
Totally. Oh God. Oh. Did they at all say anything? Cause this is just, I'm just thinking hospital protocols and that whole run around in my mind of, where's your midwife? Who is your midwife? Or just any kind of questions regarding that.
They did. When we first got there, I remember the nurse, and the nurses were amazing. They were wonderful. They were like my dream sisters. They were fantastic. Love them. But I remember the first nurse, she said, so was this a planned home birth? Yes. Can you tell me, is there a particular reason why you wanted to have a home birth and not a hospital birth? And in that moment, I thought, I am like screaming internally. My body wants to have this placenta not be here anymore because she's done with her job. And I'm exhausted. It's been almost now like a day and a half. And I thought, this is the question you're asking a woman who's clearly not having a good time right now. You want me to go into all of my reasons for the past 10 years why I decided to have home birth?
Sit down. Sit down. This is going to take... This might take a lifetime. Yeah. Wow.
I said, I just prefer the biome of my home than the biome of a hospital.
That's a great direct and short and sweet answer. I like that. Totally. Yeah, and then how long did it take to extract the placenta out from you? How long did that whole process take?
Oh, it was like a couple of minutes. Oh. Basically, I came in, they thought I was going to die. They said 30 minutes max. The OB, she was wonderful. She said, if you ever have another baby, in 30 minutes, if your placenta isn't out, I want you to come in. I'll take care of you. Everything will be great. And I'll send you home and I'll let you go home. She said, please don't ever do this ever again. I said, okay.
Okay.
23 hours. So because they considered me an emergency, I'm doing air quotes right here. Mm-hmm. And they sped everything up. They like prepped me. I had anesthesia. They knocked me out. She looked at me. I still had my cord hanging out of me. And it wasn't possible for it to like just be pulled out by my body with me, like my own self. I was like squatting for, you know, almost 23 hours. So she looked at me and said, okay, we're going to do a manual, which means she takes her hand and takes it out. And that's not something that you're awake for. My husband said it was like 15 minutes. Mostly it was all this prep. It was like prep and the me and the thing, and then all the things that you have to do to prep the OR. And it's surgery, but it's not. It's more like a procedure, technically. So basically they just knocked me out. And then she's stuck like, I don't know, up to her elbow or up to her shoulder. Not really, I'm just kidding. She took her hand and like, went inside and scooped around the placenta and then took it out and made sure that there weren't any pieces and boom, done. Like came back. I was awake. My husband looked at the clock and he said, you were like maybe gone 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I mean, it was like, look at he split. And then of course they send it off. I asked to have my placenta, this beautiful, amazing nurse. I said, can I please see it? I want to see it. I want to see it. I have so many plans for my placenta. So she said, sure. So she showed me, I remember she lifted the top off the bucket and I said, okay, I want it. I want to take it home. She said, okay, no problem. And then of course that didn't happen. Mm. They sent it off to the lab. They juiced it all up with, you know, formaldehyde and all things and the fixers. And I specifically wanted to know all of the lab results because I'm thinking, why did this happen? Mm-hmm. And I will tell you what. I had 100% perfect placenta parameters, every single like point of a like millimeter of the centimeter of the inches of every diameter of like the circumference of the parenchyma of every kind of thing you could measure was perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. There was no infection. There were no clots. There were no pieces missing. It literally was a God miracle that just God said, you're fine. You're perfect. Mm-hmm. So it's just leading me to believe that my body, I had convinced my body that I want to stay attached with this lotus birth. And it just kept doing what I asked it to do, which was stay attached and stay there.
Yeah. Which is a huge testament to, you know, how powerful our minds are can be over the body. Wow. And so Liv is, she's one now, right?
You just turned one. Yeah.
She just turned one. Happy birthday, Liv. Very, very, very cool. Aww. And how was breastfeeding for you guys? Are you still breastfeeding?
Yes. I am. I'm cool. Still breastfeeding our 5-year-old.
Awesome.
I'm breastfeeding a 1-year-old. I started this whole mom journey thinking I would maybe breastfeed for 6 weeks with our oldest. I was not breastfed as a child, and then decided, okay, I'll try it. Maybe, I guess, I don't know. I mean, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And then I kept going, and then I kept nursing and nursing and nursing and nursing. And then here I am, this like tandem nursing all kinds of children.
That's awesome. And Annie, is there any parting thoughts for our listeners or anything else that you'd like to share?
Yes, I heard this term called wild pregnancy. So if this is the new wave, I thought, okay, free birth. Wow, what is that? And so this has just come into my realm. So I am now going to dive into this wild pregnancy where you don't take a pregnancy test and you are just in the wild. You are free pregnancying. That's a new word. You are free birthing. You are free breastfeeding as long as you want, however long it takes. Like a free birth can be as long as it takes. There's no clocks. And so this wild pregnancy idea that if we have another baby, I am not going to take a pregnancy test.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Annie. I really appreciate you so much. Thank you for being my first podcast guest ever of the first podcast I've ever recorded. This was lovely. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. I am energetically throwing so many roses at your feet right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for just sharing yourself and your beautiful story and your soul with all of us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Storytelling is a profound agent of change, one that has the ability to plant seeds of inspiration, introspection, and beyond. If you have an empowering birth story that you would like to share on our podcast, please head over to indiebirth.org/birthwarrior to send your submissions. That's indiebirth.org/birthwarrior. Hope you have a beautiful week wherever you are in the world. Until next time, friends.